You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Garrett Wilson. Wow! What a catch! Touchdown, Jets! That kid's amazing. Gibson on the return. Near side. I don't see any flags. Gibson inside the 30. Hits the Jets. And he's going to go! Jets win it! Touchdown, rookie Xavier Gibson. Game over.
Allen has time. Intercepted. Sauce Gardner's got it, Allen. Tripped up. He could not get past Jermaine Johnson. Oh, look at the speed of Breece Hall. He's done it again. Breece Lightning. 62 yards for the touchdown.
And he's sacked again by Quinnen Williams. What a beast. Number 95 for the Jets.
Listen. Thank you.
This is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And some more breaking news involving the New York Jets. Not quite as exciting because this breaking news is about the new acquisitions talking to the press. No new acquisitions yet, although there could be somebody on deck that we'll talk about in a little bit. And so, to discuss it all, our friend who covers the Jets for SI, also roving reporter for Pro Football Network, Nick Faria. Nick, long time no speak, my friend.
Yeah, it just seemed like yesterday, huh? That's pretty crazy how this news goes fast in the NFL with the New York Jets.
Sure does. And I didn't expect all these guys to speak on the same day, but sure enough, we heard from Mike Williams, we heard from John Simpson, we heard from Morgan Moses, and we heard from Tyron Smith, although Tyron Smith didn't talk to the press yet. He spoke to the New York Jets website, which we'll get into in a bit. We will start with Mike Williams. A couple of the highlights, and then Nick, you can add some pieces to this. Williams said that it's been a crazy week. He was in Paris and California before coming to New Jersey. Of course, he came into New Jersey for the visit and then ended up signing the contract. Said he heard about the Twitter user NYJ_Matt sending the sandwich on Twitter before he came to the facility. So he was somehow aware that that sandwich was coming. Really funny how that's turned into a whole big story about how that sandwich ended up helping to seal the deal. I don't think it actually did anything, but it is a funny visual, and it's a fun story that many Jets fans will have to tell for years to come. Williams said his rehab is right on schedule and everything is looking good. Says he expects to be ready for week one, so he'll probably participate in some limited way in training camp, but won't play in the preseason games, would be my guess at this point. Williams said that he wanted to play with Aaron Rodgers and Garrett Wilson, says that Wilson reminds him of a young Keenan Allen. That is some very heavy praise for Garrett Wilson. Williams also said he wasn't surprised the Chargers let him go after the organization cleaned house. Williams said there wasn't a lot of communication between he and the Chargers organization this offseason before he was released. So there we go. Mike Williams signs yesterday, and today he meets the press.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, we talked about Garrett Wilson and with Rodgers and the relationship and everything else. But what's interesting to me about it is he said that Rodgers was not a big recruiting tool throughout that process when he was talking to the Jets. This really came down, and I said this on my show, Football with Faria, of him trusting the plan that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh are putting forth. And he is not the only free agent acquisition that has been like this. It's not like Aaron Rodgers had to come in and sell Mike Williams on what the Jets were trying to do. He listened to the pitch that Douglas and Saleh were building. He agreed with it. He felt that it would make a lot of sense to pair himself up with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a bona fide number one receiver who he thinks is essentially a new Keenan Allen. It made a lot of sense for him. But in order to be able to do that, you have to trust the coaching staff and you have to trust the GM. And I know a lot of fans with the Jets, a lot of people may not be very high on those two men, but very clearly the head coach and the GM has now sold their plan to Aaron Rodgers, Tyron Smith, Mike Williams, and a plethora of other free agents. This is not a one-time thing where they were able to put lightning in a bottle. The plan is in place for the Jets to be very successful in 2024, and clearly players are starting to gravitate towards that plan.
After Mike Williams spoke, we heard from Morgan Moses. He said he had no idea the trade was coming. The day before he was traded, he was texting Derrick Henry to welcome him to the Ravens. Said even though he was surprised, he was very happy to be back with the Jets. Said he's been a fan of Robert Saleh ever since he played for the Jets in Saleh's rookie head coach season in 2021. Said he's always been excited about Saleh and how he's had the defense flying around. Moses said anytime you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, you know that you have a chance to win games. This is wild, Nick. Moses revealed that he had been playing with a torn pec since week four, played through it the rest of the year, had surgery a few weeks ago, and he's looking forward to playing with two arms. Should be a full go soon. It's insane that Morgan Moses was able to play not only with a torn pec, but also that he was able to play well with a torn pec. He was one of the better right tackles in the league last year, and he was one of the better offensive linemen on the number one seed in the AFC. So just crazy stuff, but Morgan Moses excited to be back and looking forward to training camp where he should be a full participant.
Yeah, obviously that's the big point because you have a lot of players with injury concerns coming into 2024. Smith, Moses, Williams, Rodgers, these guys are coming off surgery in the off season or during the regular season, making sure that they are somewhat at 100% or at least in a position where they can practice together is very important. The one thing that I'll point to from last training camp that kind of gets lost in the disappointment of last season is we did not see the full starting five of the Jets offensive line until the final week before week one. And to think about it, that's 7-8 weeks of different line combinations and trying to get one group to play together consistently. That was a big, big problem, and it continued throughout the entire regular season. This group needs continuity. It sounds like Tyron Smith and Morgan Moses are going to be available. It sounds like Elijah Vera Tucker is going to be available at some time during training camp. So having those guys back, having those guys practice and communicate together is going to make life very, very different for the Jets, not only in practice, but especially to start the regular season.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
After we heard from Morgan Moses, we heard from the man that played alongside him on the offensive line for the Ravens last year and will do so again with the Jets this year, John Simpson. Simpson said his great-grandkids will never believe he got the chance to block for both Lamar Jackson and the GOAT, Aaron Rodgers. Simpson said that when he got drafted by the Raiders, which was the team he was with before the Ravens, he felt like when the new regime came in, that's Josh McDaniels, remember he was drafted by Mike Mayock and John Gruden, he thought that McDaniels had their own guys, didn't really want him there, said the Ravens gave him a fresh start, and he will always appreciate what Baltimore did for him to put him into this position where now he comes to the Jets as the starting left guard. So we heard from Mike Williams, we heard from Morgan Moses, and then we heard from John Simpson. I have a feeling that if things go well for Simpson, we'll hear a lot from him because he's got a bit of a boisterous personality. Nick, in case you missed it, when Simpson was at Clemson and they won the national championship, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback, at media day, he was selected by Dabo Swinney to go and address the media, and he showed up in a blonde wig doing a Trevor Lawrence impersonation. It went viral, got a good laugh, and going into the draft, I think he was known for that in addition to his highlight reel blocks. So if things go well here, who knows? He could be doing some Aaron Rodgers ayahuasca journey impressions.
No, that's definitely going to be up for debate. But I will say about Simpson, and really Moses as well, you can tell these guys have been doing this for a while where they answer questions really, really well. Very charismatic, give poignant and just objectively smart answers. It was something that was a big takeaway for me, for Simpson and for Moses as well. But again, like I said with Williams, you can tell these guys have all bought in, not just to the Aaron Rodgers Jets, but to the Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh New York Jets. And that's a very, very big distinction because they've been able to bring in these quality players, these quality veterans right away that can help produce a winner. And now the only thing left to do is actually play on the field and show that they can win consistently at the highest level. And we're not going to be able to see that now for a couple months. But so far, a very, very encouraging start. High character players that are only going to help the Jets leadership room in that locker room.
Nick, Tyron Smith spoke, but not to the press. He spoke to Caroline Hendershot over at NewYorkJets.com. Here's what he had to say about signing with the Jets. I feel like it's an amazing new start. What's being built here is great. It's built to win. The multiple-time All-Pro offensive tackle said of Robert Saleh, he's got a lot of energy, a lot of passion. He's somebody I'm going to love playing for. Talked about Aaron Rodgers and protecting the blind side of one of the all-time great quarterbacks. Quote, I know what kind of player he is. I know he's extremely intelligent, and I know we're always going to be on the same page. I think him being in the game for so long, the stuff we all know about what he does, we've just got to pick his brain. Smith also talked about coming from a team that had players like Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Ezekiel Elliott, and Tony Pollard to now playing with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall. Quote, just from seeing how everybody plays, I feel like it's going to be an amazing season. I feel like all the pieces are starting to come together, especially the guys they've brought in for the offensive line. I feel like it's going to be a strong offense this year. So Tyron Smith, obviously very excited. He also did go on to talk about his work ethic and his technique. Quote, I bring it every day. I'm a hard worker and I harp on technique at all times. Smith has played over 11,000 snaps. He's 33 years old. But as we've discussed on the show, the Dallas Cowboys have a way of using him where they basically throughout the week didn't have him involved in contact. They preserved him. And so that way he was able to hold up fairly well and play in 13 games. Smith also added, quote, anyway, I can help the rest of the offensive linemen as far as technique and advice. And also there are always things I can learn from them. But just to bring any kind of leadership I can, that's what I'm looking to do. And Nick, one underrated aspect of Tyron Smith signing with the New York Jets, I know there are durability concerns and they're well-founded, although I did just explain how the Cowboys were able to keep him mostly fresh, and I think the Jets will probably do that too. Carter Warren is a player who struggled quite a bit last year, but the Jets seem to be pretty high on him. They think he could develop into something, even if he's just a strong swing tackle, somebody that could step in if Smith gets hurt. That would be very important for the Jets. And so Tyron Smith, talking about leadership, talking about technique, I know a lot of Jets fans are very nervous about Keith Carter, and I understand why. I'm nervous as well about Keith Carter because he doesn't have a very good reputation among players. However, with Tyron Smith here, his ability to help Carter Warren could go a long way. Carter Warren may or may not develop into a starting tackle, but like I said, Nick, if Tyron Smith can help him reach his ceiling, and even if that ceiling winds up being a solid swing tackle, that would be a big win for the Jets.
100%, and it also makes sure that New York, whether they take a tackle in the first round or later on in the draft, it allows them to have someone to groom that player for next season and an eventual potential start. I know the team's very high on Carter Warren. I personally think, I know you talked about Scott, he really struggled last year. There were certainly points where he did not look good, but there were other points that he showed some promise. And I think a year full of development, a full year of training camp, because he did not get that in his rookie season, will certainly help him in his overall development. But this is what we're talking about. The Jets have brought in high character, high quality guys that are all about the team and not about the personal accolades. You've heard it everywhere in every conversation so far. Mike Williams talking about what he could bring for Aaron, what he could bring for Garrett. We talked about Morgan Moses and John Simpson. This team is all in, and the players they have brought in are all in. That is such a fundamental, important part of what they're going to be building, because now you have the opportunity to say, okay, it's not just Aaron Rodgers. We've got a great team around him. And if we can build this team around a Hall of Fame quarterback, we don't need him to be a top five guy every day to win a lot of games. That's going to be a very big part of this. And I think Aaron's going to have a great year regardless. But having that certainly helps the organization in the long term.
Nick, the Jets may not be done with acquisitions. I suspect that they're going to be in the mix for a couple of other players. Nothing huge, but so far we've seen a lot of one-year contracts, as we've talked about. One guy they brought in today was Jadeveon Clowney. No word yet if anybody sent him any breakfast sandwiches. Do we have an update on what's going on with Jadeveon Clowney?
Nothing yet, and I think, you know, I was surprised that Williams canceled the meetings with Carolina and Pittsburgh. And essentially signed with the Jets. The Jets didn't let him leave the building. I would be very surprised if that same thing happened with Jadeveon Clowney today. He is, as it was described to me on JetCast yesterday, of a mercenary, a guy that wants his money, that will provide quality pass rushing, quality run defending, essentially a more complete player than Bryce Huff is at this point in his career. And if they can come to an agreement on the dollar amount, which I think is the big question, this will certainly be a massive addition for the New York Jets, where they can continue to be flexible on draft day and not have to worry about defense at all. The one thing I do hear is that, you know, even after Clowney, they're not going to be done. Sounds like they still want to address the wide receiver position, whether it be in the draft or free agency. They want to make sure they have a guy who can allow Garrett Wilson to be dominant, not only outside, but also in the slot. And they're also going to be addressing the safety position as well, with players like Ashton Davis, who are still available, all these other quality veterans that are still out there in free agency. This team is not going to be done even if Clowney signs, but certainly this could be a massive, massive signing if they can come to an agreement.
Nick, interesting note here involving Zach Wilson, who I assume is probably going to get released because I can't imagine any team is going to trade for him. When you take a look at what the Patriots got for Mac Jones and what the Bears got for Justin Fields, hard to believe that at $5.5 million, anybody would be trading for Zach Wilson. But if he does wind up back out there after the Jets release him, one team that I wouldn't have expected him to potentially go to is the LA Rams. And the reason I wouldn't have expected it is because of who the offensive coordinator is, Mike LaFleur. We saw that report in The Athletic about all the tension between LaFleur and Wilson and how Wilson and LaFleur didn't see eye to eye almost the entire time that LaFleur was the offensive coordinator. However, Albert Breer of your publication, SI, wrote today that not only are the Rams a, quote, logical landing spot for Wilson, but that Mike LaFleur would be, quote, very open to a reunion. LaFleur, of course, the offensive coordinator under Sean McVay there now with the Rams. The only thing I can think of here is that maybe Sean McVay really sees something in Zach Wilson, and he's had discussions with LaFleur, and they've discussed where LaFleur might have gone wrong before and how they could do things differently this time. And they've probably discussed the fact that it would be basically no harm, no foul if they brought him in, because if he came in on what you would imagine to be a very low risk, almost no guaranteed money contract, if they were able to harness the raw talent that everybody saw in him coming out of BYU and turn him into something, with Matthew Stafford getting older and having the injury problems, they might be able to have a future quarterback on their hands. But of course, if it doesn't work out, they just send him packing and he goes on his way. It would be very interesting to see that pairing again, because if Mike LaFleur and Sean McVay are able to take Zach Wilson and turn him into something against all odds, that would not speak well of everything that went down with Zach Wilson here with the Jets. A lot of people have said Wilson just didn't have it and that he'll never become anything in the NFL. And history seems to indicate that the odds are certainly stacked against him. But obviously, if there's anybody whose hands you'd want to be in if you're a quarterback looking for a second chance in the NFL, it would be Sean McVay. So if he does hit the market and reunites with LaFleur and gets under the tutelage of Sean McVay, I'd be curious to see how he does. But I was very surprised to read this report. I did not think that LaFleur would want any part of a reunion, but apparently he does.
Well, it's more so to me, listening to Breer and reading his point, it's more so LaFleur is not the head coach, and he's not even the play caller. This is Sean McVay is the head coach, and if he feels that his coaching staff needs to sort of, you know, mend the fence of a young quarterback, then he's going to do that, and he expects LaFleur to be able to do that as well. This, to me, is more about Sean McVay seeing what he can get in a young quarterback, like you said, with Zach, and see how much, how well he can play under better structure of an offense. But ultimately, the relationship between LaFleur and Wilson, I've also heard it wasn't very good. Just going based off of the Athletic report. But again, LaFleur is not the offensive coordinator. He's not the play caller. He's not the head coach. If McVay feels that he can work with him, if McVay feels that he is salvageable or even just an attempt to see what he can be, he will absolutely make that move, and he would expect his assistants to go along with it. I wouldn't see this, even if the Rams were to do it, I wouldn't see it as a massive surprise. It's more of just a, you know, this is what McVay does. He wants the young quarterbacks. He wants to see if he can fix them, and then he'll take it from there.
Nick, last bit of business here. Marvin Harrison Jr. has told teams that he will not be working out at the Ohio State Pro Day. You want to talk about a prima donna, Nick. It really disgusts me that Marvin Harrison thinks that he's above working out at this Pro Day. I personally think that not only should this drop him behind Malik Nabers, not only should this drop him behind Roma Dunze, I think that there's no way this guy should go before the 10th pick in the draft.
But yeah, listen, you know, we can always dream and whatnot. It's also important to note that Harrison did talk to several executives, several scouts, asking if they felt that he needed to work out. They all told him no, so he didn't. And I think we're going to be seeing this a lot more with some of these top prospects, because there's a lot of recent examples. I think the clearest one that comes to my head is Sidney Jones, the cornerback out of Washington. He was considered a top 10 overall selection in 2017. I think it was a torn Achilles that he suffered, and he fell into the second round, lost out on millions of dollars, and really was never the same player, didn't have the same burst that he had in Washington. Harrison, I think we're all safe to assume that even if he were to get a little bit, you know, dinged up in pro days or anything else, sustain a small injury, he would still be the number one non-quarterback selected in this draft. But he also has every right to do this. If NFL executives and NFL teams are telling players, you don't have to work out, you don't have to do this, we want to make sure you're 100% when we draft you, then they are absolutely within their right to do that. And Harrison is absolutely in his own right to say, I need to make sure that I get the money that I can get at the highest possible highest possibility in the NFL draft. So I know, jokes aside, we always want to see if Harrison can be in a spot where the Jets either trade up for him or they fall on his lap. But ultimately, I still don't think it's going to happen. I think he goes to Arizona at 4 and the trade up probably happens for a quarterback in J.J. McCarthy.
Need a video of him with a bong to surface the night of the draft. The old Laramie Tunsil routine. So he'll drop down to the Jets at number 10. Nick Ferrier covering the Jets for SI and roving reporter for Pro Football Network. Also, of course, host of the daily Twitter video show, Football with Ferrier. Nick, as always, thanks for coming on and talking about the breaking news involving the Jets. Talk about everything you're up to and how people can get a hold of you on social media.
Yeah, as always, Nick underscore Faria 1720. Always available with a little tweet here and there to answer as many questions as you guys have. I also do my regular show, as Scott was saying. But appreciate all of you guys that have tuned in for this show and also for the stuff that I've done. It's always greatly appreciated.
Check out everything Nick's doing. Check out everything we're doing over at playlikeajet.com. We've got some new videos on deck at the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. It's been dormant for a while. We've been on a bit of a hiatus because, let's be honest, wasn't really much to talk about. Now there is. We've got the draft around the corner. We've got all the free agents coming in. So you will see some videos on the channel coming up. YouTube.com/playlikeajet. Visit our store, teepublic.com. That's teepublic.com. And be sure to give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.